The show's about to start.
Ajeita a luz, ajeita a luz.
Tela, tela, perderam o microfone. Ah, alguém já microfonou a atriz.
Testa o áudio, testa o áudio.
Caraca, tá faltando pilha aqui pro gravador.
Meu Deus, eu precisava pilha pro gravador.
Eita, o papel tá queimando.
Boas-vindas para todos, todas e todos que estão aqui. É o Talk é um evento que a Pupila está fazendo, né, junto com a The Manuscript. A gente tem um encontro marcado lá no nosso Instagram, já tem todos assim divulgados, então é só acessar o Pupila Audiovisual. Então, o de hoje é com Maria Beatriz e Leila. O microfone é todo seu.
Technical difficulties. She's sharing her screen.
Tá, então eu vou começar. Então, hoje a gente vai falar um pouco sobre distribuição e Festival de Cannes.
What you just heard is a real recording of one of the lectures of Pupila Talk, the first project powered by The Manuscript, a series of talks for the audiovisual students at Universidade de Brasília, delivered by professionals who are already in the market, working with different aspects of the audiovisual industry.
Oi, boa noite. Obrigado pela apresentação, por contribuir com a gente, foi muito legal, muito esclarecedor. Eu queria saber um pouco como foi, tipo, essa parte mais acadêmica, se você recomenda algum vestibular, alguma faculdade específica que a gente corra atrás, ou, tipo, como que funciona
isso? Aqui nos Estados Unidos?
Isso.
Várias. Tem muita faculdade muito boa aqui de cinema. Um pouco, assim, de mim, eu comecei na Columbia College, em Chicago, que é uma faculdade, assim, que eu acho que é maravilhosa. E se não fosse um pelo frio e dois porque eu sabia que eu ia acabar em Los Angeles, eu teria ficado lá porque era uma escola muito boa, então dá uma olhada nessa. Tem outra também que se chama Chapman, que é muito boa. Loyola Marymount, muito boa. E aí, aqui eu fui fazer meu bacharelado em Los Angeles, era CSUN, que é a California State University Northridge.
You'll hear more about Pupila Talk and what it has to do with this episode in a moment. And by the way, yes, this is still The Manuscript. You didn't accidentally click on another podcast. Usually, we open up with our regular vignettes, but dun-dun, plot twist. This is quite a different episode for a couple of reasons. First of all, this is our 25th episode, and I turned 25 this year, and I think that's a cool coincidence. So I wanted to do something special about it. And also, I think it would be a really cool opportunity to make a slightly different episode. We'll have a Q&A about the show, and we will also be making an important announcement, sharing some special projects like the Pupila Talk, so stay tuned. Okay, with that being said, should we get our vignettes back? Cool. Hi there! Welcome to The Manuscript. I'm Juliana May, and in this podcast, we're passionate about writing and technology. Every couple of weeks, we talk to people making a difference in the intersection of writing and the development of technology products, covering technical and UX writing, art and design, content strategy, and honestly, anywhere else there's someone thinking about writing and tech. If you're new here, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. Yes, this is quite a different episode. We opened up with an audio recording of Pupila Talk. What was that all about? Speaking of which, what does Pupila mean? Why are we doing this, Ju? You might be asking yourself. I have so many questions. I promise it will all make sense in a bit. Enter Q&A, or questions and answers, the theme of today's episode. To help us out with all of this, we have very special guests today. Yes, guests, plural, on the show. So say hi, everyone.
Hi.
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 Cool. Full house today. So a few episodes back, we announced some new initiatives that have been going on, like partnering with Pupila, junior enterprise from Universidade de Brasília, or Brasília University, to take care of the editing part of our show. And we've talked briefly about what Pupila is and the show credits. I always call out the heroes who edited the episode, but we realized you guys haven't properly met them yet. So this is how it's gonna go. I'll be asking them questions, they'll be asking me questions, and I've also asked on Twitter and social media what were your questions about the show, so we'll be answering them today as well. Q&A 360, let's do this. So friends, can you please introduce yourselves and share with our listeners a little bit about what each and every one of you do? Let's do a roundup here. Who wants to start?
So, hi people, I'm Andre. I'm 19 and I'm in the third semester of audiovisual. Now in Pupila, I'm a member of art, sound design, and the editing teams. And I'm becoming the post-production coordinator.
Hi, André. Who's next?
Hi, guys. I'm Ana Carolina. I am an audiovisual student at UNB. Here at Pupila, I work with the creation team, writing scripts. I work with the sound editing team, too. That's why I'm here today. We are adding some episodes from the manuscript. And I also work with art direction, marketing, and customer service.
Hi, I'm Babi, also known as Nimbus, and I am the project manager, which means I manage the teams and organize all the projects we do in Pupila. I've been a post-production coordinator too, and a member of illustration, animation, editing, and creation, screenwriting. That's it.
Hi, I'm Clara. I'm 19 years old. I'm on the third semester of audiovisual at UNB as well, also like André and Lucas. And I've been working at Pupila for a year and a half now. I do a lot of things there. So photography, editing, sound design, art directing. I'm also production coordinator. And since last month, I'm part of the executive board too.
Hi guys, I'm Lucas. I am 20 years old. I am on the third semester of audiovisual. Here in Pupila, I am the creation coordinator. I'm also a sound editor. And I'm a member of editing in general, like videos and this kind of stuff. So hello.
My name is Carla Luz. I'm 20 years old. And I study publicity and advertising at UNB. Here at Pupila, I am marketing and commercial director, so I'm responsible for our external communication, like show Pupila to the world through social media, events, and to follow the process when clients arrive here and want to do projects with us.
All right, so great introductions. It's awesome to have you here. I'm super excited. And you all mentioned that you work in Pupila, which is a junior enterprise. So according to the juniorenterprises.org website, junior enterprises are nonprofit companies run entirely by university students. They provide services in their fields of study to other companies, entrepreneurs, and society as a whole. End quote. But tell me a little bit more. What exactly is a junior enterprise in your perspective? What do you do? What's your day-to-day like?
I think I can answer that. So a junior enterprise, like I said, is a company that is formed by university students. So we are here to put on practice what we learned in college. And we are here to have the experience with real-world projects, with real-world clients, and with a real-world company. A junior enterprise is generally linked with some university or college. For example, Pupila is linked with the communication college from UNB. And we do exactly what a company do. So we have projects to do to end and give for our clients. We have reunions. We work as a team. And yeah, that's what is a junior enterprise.
Cool. So every or pretty much most of university courses each have their own junior enterprise, right? Where they can experience real life projects working around what they're studying at their classes. So I graduated in business administration in that same university at Universidade de Brasília or Brasília University. And my course had a really big junior enterprise as well, where students, I wasn't a part of it actually, but students get a chance to work with real life business projects, which is really cool. But tell me more about Pupila. What does Pupila mean? Pupila translates to pupil, like the eye organ, and also in the sense that it's someone who is an apprentice, right?
Pupila is an audiovisual junior enterprise. So here we make videos and podcasts like this one. And we have this believing that audiovisual is the best way to communicate because we can tell histories, we can share messages through audiovisual in a complete and dynamic way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first, the enterprise was going to be called Juanitos because it was the name of the group of the students that started all that. But they thought that it wasn't a very professional name. So they thought about Pupila because there is a connection with the audiovisual world and all the stigma.
Awesome. So tell me more about your projects. What, besides editing this podcast, do you work with?
So in Pupila, we produce institutional videos and promotional videos. We do documentaries, sound products like sound branding, and podcasts like this. And the videos can be live action or animations or both, like hybrids. And I will use this moment to do some marketing.
Go ahead.
So a lot of things you guys can know about us, there is in pupilaaudiovisual.com.br.
Awesome. So what do you like most about working in Pupila or a junior enterprise? What's your favorite thing to do in your work?
So the experience of working in a junior enterprise, it's very enriching.
I started college in the beginning of the pandemic. So all my college friends are from Pupila because in Pupila is where I know all the people from UNB. So yeah, my favorite part is definitely the people there.
Well, my favorite part about being in Pupila is that some things we learned first in Pupila, then in our classes. And I feel like I'm more ready to take the classes with the trainings that Pupila gave us.
I think the best part to work at Pupila is because here we have the opportunity to try different things and to put into practice things that we learn in the college.
I think that I like to work here because we are working as a team. I think this is a really good thing. And the experience of a company is really good for us too. I think that we are too young. So yeah, I think this is the point that I really like here at Pupila.
I know people have already said that, but it's such a nice environment to learn collaboratively. And in general, just a good experience, an opportunity to build a portfolio without the dilemma of like not knowing what to do. Yeah, that's all.
Awesome. That's great to hear. I wish that I had joined my course's junior enterprise. But tell me more about your experience with the manuscript. So when I first presented you guys with the show and we started working together, me being your client, how did you feel about it?
Whoa, Ju. I was very excited, to be honest. And I was very, very, very happy because I feel like I'm growing as a professional. And it's cool to practice another language while you are editing. That's very nice.
Nice. I think André is next.
Oh, okay. So, Ju, I didn't know how I feel about that. But now it's very interesting. I'm really excited and I'm thankful for the opportunity. And that's it.
Nice. Carla?
The best part to work with the manuscript is because here with Ju, we have this space to talk and to share our ideas, and she's always open to listen, and that it's very nice.
The whole project is really cool because we didn't have before an opportunity to edit podcasts for anyone else, just our podcast. Yeah, thank you.
It's really crazy for me because I'm working with a 4-minute podcast and I never imagined myself work with sound in general, so it's really crazy. And at the same time, it's a really good experience for me because I end up in noting that I really like to work with that. And yeah, work with the manuscript was one of the best things that I'm doing here at Pupila.
I love this project and I love to hear my name at the end of each episode, and I show it to all my family because I'm super proud of the work we're doing and the work Ju is doing as well. And yeah, I love this project.
I'm gonna cry. I was not expecting those answers. So for our listeners, we didn't have a proper script for this episode, so I had no idea you guys would be so nice. Thank you so much. And I think that what really got me interested in working with Pupila, and specifically a junior enterprise, was this openness that you guys have for being students. And I also did some budgeting with other companies that already worked with podcasting before, but I really wanted to do this with a junior enterprise to have that social impact that this project allows me to have. So to give back to students and also work with students from my university, and my university experience and all the opportunities that I had were such a differential for my career. And I also, now that I graduated, I wanted to give back and to give that feeling to other students as well, which is really, really cool. Nice. And I think that's a good segue for our next section, because we'll be talking about Pupila Talk. All right, so remember the audio we played in the episode's intro? Let's open for questions.
Pode ir, Marcos.
Boa noite, eu queria agradecer muito por ter vindo trocar essa ideia com a gente. Eu acho isso muito bacana quando alguém do mercado vem, trazer experiências pra gente, muito esclarecedor. E, a dúvida que eu tenho é porque na hora que você tá falando um pouco ali da publicidade, do marketing do filme em si, você falou que, meio que tava acostumado a fazer a publicidade sem dinheiro, né? E, eu acho que no Brasil isso é uma parada, infelizmente, muito recorrente. Eu acho que, você falou, tem alguns filmes no ano e tal, e, nem sempre vai dar certo. Então, qual o tamanho da equipe, da Emovision? Quantas pessoas trabalham, quantas são fixas, como a gente consegue se manter mensalmente, com uma parada que é tão pontual, né?
Não, é uma boa pergunta, O mercado audiovisual brasileiro, a gente sabe que é um perrengue, né?
Yeah, that. It was an excerpt of one of the presentations delivered in Pupila Talk. So can someone please go over what that is?
Pupila Talk is an event that we are doing with the manuscript, and we have lectures when we call guests to talk about their professional lives and to share their journey with us. And that it's really cool because for us students, it's really important to know the possibilities, like what we can do in the future. And it's really nice to listen and learn with them.
Cool. So the idea behind Pupila Talk actually came after one of our first meetings with the editing team. And I asked how many of them had an experience in the real world at our university campus. And of all the people, I think there were 7 or 8 people in that meeting, only one person had experienced university outside of the remote world that we're now living. And that really impacted me in a way that I understand the value that living in the campus had on my university experience. Because when you're out there on the real world, you get to know people, you just open a door and there's a really cool lecture going on. And then that sort of environment provides organic networking. And I was fully aware of how important that was for me. And I was so sad that these students were only enjoying their university experience online. So I wanted to do something about it. And that's when we came up with Pupila Talk. So basically, I asked my friends who were already working at the audiovisual market, but hadn't graduated in a long time. So they were in that sweet spot where you're already in the market, so you know more what you're doing, but you haven't forgotten what your university experience was like. So they were able to connect with these students and tell them about their paths and the decisions that they made and how they got their first jobs, and really share with them all the paths that they could follow in this profession. And we had the first one of 5 in total presentations about this topic, and it was really interesting, at least for me. So on our first presentation, we had Maria Beatriz Vilela, who was also a guest here on the show for our Launching a Streaming Platform episode. And she talked about her experience in the movie industry, especially in the distribution process, and how she had an internship at Cannes where all the movies are streamed and sold. And it was really cool to share that experience with the students. So I wanted to know from you guys what you guys think about the first Pupila Talk.
It was very interesting because I didn't know exactly how the Cannes Festival used to work, and it really opened my eyes about the movie selling in this industry. And it was very interesting that we were learning, we were hearing from someone that experienced that. And I was thankful to those kind of lectures because it really made me closer with the area that I love, and it was very, very fun.
Okay, so I was really excited for Pupila Talk, and the students were really into it as well. But what did the speakers think about the experience of talking to those students? Let's hear from Robbie Marcondes, originally from Brazil, graduated from CSUN with a BFA in Cinema and Television Arts, and also a Master's in Media Management from the University of Miami. Her lecture was about a movie's life cycle.
I had the awesome experience of giving a speech to the students at UNB, University of Brasília, where I got to share a little bit about my experience and my story and how I came to the United States to work with film and TV. And this project from Pupila Audiovisual called Pupila Talk is very, very interesting because with so many students having only online classes, it's very important to be able to hear a little bit from people that are already in the industry. So I was very glad that I was able to share my experience, and hopefully it was very informative. And I've inspired somebody to pursue their dreams in this industry, because although hard, if it's something that you love, I believe you should pursue it.
What I really think is special about Pupila Talk is that it was the first project that left the podcast medium that we had. So it was a series of events powered by the manuscript, and it was really rewarding to have the show promote this sort of initiative, and to also connect people from different backgrounds, which is really pretty much what we try to do here at the manuscript, but on podcast format. And I really wanted to talk about this because I feel that it might inspire everyone who's listening to start their own projects, and also to understand the power that we have as professionals who are already in the market, in the lives of people who are still learning, so in the lives of students, especially in this remote world experience.
So Ju, while editing your podcast, we heard a lot of questions that you make, and we thought that it was cool to, this time, you answer some of our questions.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm up for the challenge, being the guest on my own show.
Yes, exactly. So first, while I was looking through the episodes, I thought to myself, like, damn, that's a lot of guests, that's a lot of people. And you are always like, guys, I record another session, I record another section. I was like, oh my God, this woman never stops. And I wish to know, how do you organize your recording schedule?
Cool, interesting question. So besides the manuscript, I'm also a tech writer at VTEX. So for those of you who listened to previous episodes might already know this, but I have a full-time job, and the manuscript is one of the side projects that I lead. And it's quite a journey of really understanding how to be productive on the time that you have set for each activity that you have on your schedule. So I have a system of my own for tracking all of my tasks for my job and also organizing what I have to do for the manuscript and other projects. And specifically about the recording schedule, that pretty much is the one thing that is out of my control because I depend on our guests' schedules as well. So usually I give the guest full freedom to choose a time that works for them, but having in mind different time zones because we interview people from all over the world. So what I usually do is that I tell them what shift or what period works for me on my time zone and let them choose the best time for them. And I also try to organize at least 2 interviews a month, just to make sure that we have like a good rhythm of recording, editing, and publishing episodes.
Well, that's very nice. To be honest, it doesn't seem like it's just 2.
Yeah, I tend to accumulate some more than 2, depending on our guests' schedules. So this is my 2nd recording of the day. We're recording this on July 22nd, and I already had an interview this morning. So I guess that it varies.
Yeah, so Ju, it's my turn.
Go ahead.
How is the process of creating an episode?
Awesome, great question. This is my favorite part, I guess, especially because it's where I get a chance to be more creative and really let my imagination loose. So basically, I have a Google Sheets where I organize my personal wish list of episodes. And they can be from a specific theme that I'm really interested in, or a person that I stumbled upon on LinkedIn, or an article that I read that really caught my attention. And then I just list all of these ideas, and they occur kind of naturally throughout my week. It's not something that I take time to really, okay, I'm taking this time to plan an episode. No, I just let the wish list kind of build itself throughout the week naturally. And then once I'm confident about a theme or a specific guest, I go after their emails or social media accounts to try to make contact and just to know if that person is available for us to record an episode. And then once I have their okay, that's when I start writing the script of questions. So we actually have a script of questions on the show. It's not completely no one's land where we just go with it. No, I actually try to think about the questions and really dive deep into that subject and really pick my brain and pick my colleagues' brains about how we can tackle that subject specifically. And that's a really creative moment as well when I actually take a step back and wonder, okay, so I have 1 hour to talk with this person. And I get a chance to ask them virtually anything. What do I want to know? And that's how the script comes to life. And then once we're recording, of course, lots of digressions happen. And we usually take some twists and turns that weren't really planned on the script. But that makes the episode the more richer because it's a conversation at the end of the day. And that is a big part of the creation process as well. And then we send them to you guys, so you can edit. And usually I have like a pretty solid idea after recording the episode about how I want it to look like or sound like, actually, because we're talking about podcasts. But that's the moment that we collaborate the most. So I hear your opinions and we collaborate on a Google Docs with ideas about how the episode should be edited. So I guess that's like how the show comes to life in a nutshell.
It's a lot of processes to create an episode of the manuscript. That's cool.
Thank you.
So, okay, Ju, just to complete the question, how do you select the people to be interviewed?
Okay, so that really depends on the topic. So usually when I have like a topic that I want to talk about, so video games and tech writing, for instance, which was a previous episode, I just go on LinkedIn and try to find companies or game development companies and go through their employee list and try to find people who work with tech writing specifically, because that's the episode's theme. And then kind of go through their profiles and check what kind of background or experiences or portfolios that they have and how it can connect to the idea that we want to discuss on the episode. And then just usually reach out to people. I don't usually send multiple emails to multiple people just hoping that one of them will reply. I actually am really focused on that person and that story that they have to tell. And if they don't reply or if they're not available, sometimes I just let the episode aside because I really wanted to talk to that person specifically. Or I just revisit it after like a couple of episodes to make sure that it's still a topic that I want to cover. And then I just try to find someone else that might fit the scope that I defined.
Also, diversity is a big aspect that we want to address, not just of themes covered on the show, but the plurality of our guests, because we believe in the power of those diverse narratives to enrich our episodes, you know? So what we did was first diagnose how we were handling diversity in the show. So in that spreadsheet that I mentioned, I have a tab dedicated to tracking diversity metrics. And we sorted that out into the pillars of gender, race, and nationality, at least for now. And for full transparency, up until this point, we've had 10 male guests on the show and 11 female, 4 persons of color on the show and 17 white. And we've had 9 Americans, 10 Brazilians, 1 British, and 1 Indian. Indian, that's spoiler for next season. But yeah, we know there's lots of room to improve, especially in the racial diversity aspect. So that's something we want to bring for this new season as well.
I like the idea of focus on someone. I think it's more objective and it's more organized or something like that. So I really like it.
Thank you.
So we talked about our favorite parts of working at Pupila, and I wanted to know from you, what's your favorite part about producing a podcast?
I think that the whole process really, really gets to me in a positive way. I love thinking and dreaming about episodes. I love writing the script and really understanding more about a new topic that I don't know much about, or going deep into a topic that I'm already familiar with. Like all of that, that creative aspect is really, really cool. And also recording is awesome because that's the moment where I get to know these people and really know them off the mic. And when we're not recording, we always have a chat to get to know each other better. So it's a great way to connect to people from all over the world. But I can tell you my least favorite part, which is editing. That's where you come in. So not only because it takes a lot of time, and with my crazy schedules, it wasn't something that I could go on doing now that I'm a solo podcaster. So when I thought about, okay, if I want to keep doing this, what is the process that I can ask other people to do? And it was editing. And it's great because I have all your collective intelligence to really take the best out of the editing part, which is really cool because sometimes in the past when I did the editing, I sometimes would let ideas aside because they would take more editing hours into. And now that you guys are responsible for that aspect, I get to dream even more and think about crazy formats. And yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up.
Awesome. I think we all feel grateful to help you continue with this amazing project and to help you with that part that you don't like.
So, Ju, when we talk about creating content for watch or listen, people usually choose YouTube as a platform. So why you choose the podcast format and Spotify?
Great question. So I guess there's lots of ways of telling a story, and technology has aided us in providing lots of mediums for us to share that story. So we have Instagram, We have blog posts, we have YouTube videos, like you mentioned, and we also have podcasts. And I think that I chose podcasts not only because I'm a huge fan of podcasts. Like, I pretty much listen to one every single day, especially once I started living by myself. And hearing people's voice on the background while I was alone at my house, that really helped out on the whole moving away process. And I guess it kind of stuck with me. And I figured out that it was a really cool medium to introduce learning in my day-to-day, but without having the need to stay in front of a computer screen, which is a great plus. So that's one thing. Also, I didn't go for writing because that's what I do on my work. Like, I write a lot every day and I wanted to experiment different media formats. And well, YouTube videos, I guess at first because of their complexity. So I mentioned that I'm not a huge fan of the editing part. And when we're talking about videos, that's even more complex. So I thought that an MVP for this idea of the podcast that me and Breno had way back when we started the show was a really cool way to just get this idea on the road instead of having to invest a lot of time and effort in buying props for a proper YouTube channel, etc. So I guess that's it.
I like it, but it's different. It's not so common,
I guess, for you guys who are kids, but podcasts are like a growing media for, I don't know, professionals in the tech writing field as well. And that was another interesting aspect. There weren't many podcasts about technology and writing out there, so I guess I saw that window of opportunity of vacancy not filled and wanted to do my part. This partnership with Pupila actually widened our horizons, so to speak. For one, it got me thinking a lot about the format of the show, our purpose here, and how I mentioned that with more hands on deck, we can be more creative about the episodes we deliver. And my head is just racing with so many cool new ideas for episodes and also these other side projects like Pupila Talk, powered by the manuscript. So we have some big news to share. Guys, want to tell everyone the news?
We'll be back for season two.
Yeah, so that's it. We'll be back for season two. We are launching a new season of The Manuscript. So starting in September, you'll have access to a bunch of new episodes. And we really want to take our time to plan them, find the best people to interview, and prepare every episode with more attention to detail and different storytelling techniques. So instead of just announcing that through social media, I think that this episode would be a cool cliffhanger to get you guys excited about all the new episodes coming this way. And although some things will change on the next episodes, one thing will remain the same, which is our book recommendations section. So in every episode, we ask our guests what are they reading right now, and we have collected these book recommendations into a Goodreads bookshelf, which you can access on the show notes and also on our website. So I also wanted to know what everyone here is reading. I am reading The Witcher, the second book. It's called The Sword of Destiny. So yeah, fantasy books. Yay. What are you guys reading?
I'm reading A Brief History of Time.
Wow, that's deep. Makes my The Witcher recommendation feel kind of silly.
I'm reading a book that's called A Court of Thorns and Roses. It's a fantasy book, but I'm planning to start next week, 5 feet apart, because I read the version in Portuguese and I bought the version in English. So I'm planning to start that because I really love that book.
Is it the movie with Cole Sprouse?
Yes, it's that one.
I love Cole Sprouse. We've talked about him on past episodes as well.
I was reading a great book about how to communicate with clear message. The name is Building a Story Brand. And I want to share too that I'm reading Chronicles of Narnia. It's a great book and I'm loving it.
I love the Chronicles of Narnia. I actually read them in school. Our music teacher read it to us when we were kids and I picked it up once I was a little bit older. Ah, it's great.
Okay, to be honest, I haven't been reading much. I mostly listen to podcasts, but I am like right in the middle of reading Survivor by Jake Palahniuk. And it has been nice so far.
Awesome. It's great to have that space to get back on reading.
So I'm reading Frankenstein, and I'm also reading a book that is called A Dark Shade of Magic. And yeah, that's what I'm reading right now.
I read Frankenstein last year. It was one of the saddest books I've read. I didn't expect it to be so emotional. It was a real surprise for me.
Yeah, I got curious about the book because I saw the movie from Mary Shelley. And I got really curious about the history. So that's why I started reading. And yeah, I really agree that it's a really emotional book.
The show is written and produced by me, and this episode was edited by Pupila, junior enterprise from UNB. If you like good stories, you'll like Pupila. Thanks to Ana do Carmo and Clara Almeida, members of Pupila, aka the heroes behind the curtains, who edited what you just heard. All links mentioned will be on our show notes. And thanks for sticking around, especially in this episode where we experimented a bit more. And just like in a product team testing out their prototype, we want user feedback. We're planning a new season, as you've heard, so send us your ideas, impressions on the show, guest recommendations, everything. Talk to us. If you're unsure whether to reach out or not, let me tell you, this is the moment where we need your input. So send an email to themanuscriptpodcast@gmail.com. Again, themanuscriptpodcast@gmail.com, or a DM through Twitter with your opinion. The link for that will be on our show notes. And also spread the word about our show. Share it with friends and colleagues who might also be interested in the topics we cover. It really does help. See you in September for a brand new season.